Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the show. Good morning. Okay, I just want to do a sound check, make sure that we are being heard. How's everyone doing today, Thursday? It's two whole days before this great, great and wonderful day. Got motivation. How are you? Welcome, welcome. And you definitely type into the chat room and let me know that you actually can hear. Having a little technical difficulties here. And how about you on the switchboard, if you can hear as well? You can, I'm not sure if Got Motivation can actually type in, but if you can, just hit your number one key to let me know that you are in the, that you are on the switchboard and that you can hear. I'm not quite sure what's going on with the technology here this morning. Yes, hit your number one key if you can actually hear. Okay, yes, I can hear you. Okay, Got Motivation. Good morning, good morning. Okay, well, that's the beautiful thing about technology is no matter how far we go with technology, and we know technology is an awesome, awesome and wonderful enhancement to our lives. I mean, think about it. Where would we be without cell phones? How about that? Back in the day, remember the thick cords of the telephone lines? Okay, so we understand that technology is definitely appreciated, but certainly we can't get rid of the old way because technology can break down on you and kind of leave you out there. So we better continue to remember how to do things as they say, the old-fashioned way. But we are certainly just glad to be available just another morning, one more opportunity to bring to you a very, very powerful and enlightening message that is going to help you move closer to your dream life. You know, we're talking about living your dream life. And what does it really take? What are you going to have to do to have the relationship of your dream, the financial situation of your dream? Because not everybody's situation is the same, so we recognize that. And what is it going to take for you to have the career or the job of your dream, to be doing exactly what you want to do? What do you want to do in the community? What community services? What service in your community, to your country, to the world, is the thing that you really want to do? And I was talking about this with someone else, talking about, you know, living on passion. In order to fulfill your purpose, you've got to find, what are you passionate about? In order to be passionate, you almost have to know your purpose. And you can kind of start hand in hand, looking at both. And you know, we had a great time here yesterday with Mr. Percy Walker, and he was, you know, telling us how you got to have that big thinking. He talked about having that New York, you know, remember the song? He got a New York state of mind. And he said that the New Yorkers are driven. If you ever go to New York, everybody's moving so fast. Especially if you go there like on any weekday, you move fast, fast, fast. But they're driven. They're on point. They're all going somewhere. And so the New Yorkers, they seem to have this big idea of what they can be and what they can have. And when I've come up with this acronym for the word big, B-I-G, write that down, big, B-I-G. The acronym is, the B is for bold. The I is for imagination. anything you can imagine. How big can you can imagine? And then the G is for greatness. So bold imagination produces greatness. You never see anyone get great from thinking small. And I have a caller. I'm going to open up her phone line or his or her phone line and welcome you to the call this morning for 469 area code. You're on the air with Coach Lalisa. Good morning.
Good morning, Lalisa. How are you this morning?
Oh, good morning, good morning, good morning. I recognize that voice. It is the great motivator, author, conference leader, motivational speaker, teacher, and trainer, Ms. Adele J. Foster. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much, Lalisa. You always know how to give me my props. Thank you so much.
Yes, yes, you deserve it. You have done so much to impact so many people. And, you know, to give people their honor while they're still here, that is due them. So you certainly have been a blessing in my life. So I can, and I haven't even known you that long. I can only imagine what you've done with people that have known you for years and years. So,
well,
yes.
You know, what I've learned is that when you have that soul connection, that tie with someone, you don't have to know them a long time to have known them for a long period of time, because we actually do have a divine connection. And that means we've been knowing each other for years in the spirit.
That is so true. That is so true, because it does feel like we've been knowing each other. And then you're right, when you meet people and you just click, you know, there seem to be no barriers that you have to overcome, hurdles, no obstacles to move out of the way to make the relationship workable, and that is a beautiful thing. So,
well, I hit that one. Thank you so much. I hit the one because you're talking about, well, you've been talking all week long and last week too, and I'm like, wow. You're talking about a lot of things, and I know I haven't tuned in. I've been tuning in, but I haven't just got on and talked. But today it's like it's been something that's been on my heart and my spirit to want people to know to live their life to their fullest, to live their dreams. If they could have do anything in the world that they really, really wanted to do, just start doing it. Because we're not promised tomorrow. And we're always hitting that, what I will say, that snooze button. We're always hitting the snooze button. Well, I'll hit the snooze button one more time, and then eventually I'll get there. Well, I want to say stop hitting the snooze button. Live your life. Live your life to its fullest dream. What is it that you want to do? You said if you could do anything with your life right now, what would that be? And I want to encourage people to just do it. I truly believe in accountability, because what stops a lot of us is that we don't have someone to be accountable to. But if we have that accountability partner like you, Coach Lisa, you could be their coach and encourage them and, you know, and say to them, okay, you said this is your dream. This is your life dream. This is what you want to do. Why aren't you not doing it? Because when we in people's faces about what they say they want to do, now they have to take a true look at themselves and say, yes, why am I not doing it? And then start moving towards it. And so that's why I was like listening to you, and I'm like, yeah, absolutely. People need to start living their dreams and stop sitting and waiting for something to happen, because if you wait for something to happen, it never happens. You know, it's like I'm sitting and I'm waiting, and I always ask the question, what are you waiting for? It's like the three men. Two had, they were given talents. Two took their talents and used it wisely, but the third one buried it. And I want to say to your listeners, stop burying your talents. Use it and start using it wisely, because God gave it to you to use. He didn't want you to sit on it and waste it. He wants you to use it.
You know, that is so true, Adele. I noticed also that you did post that on your Facebook about the three men.
Yes,
so
I had to post that. I mean, it was something I went to bed with last night, and I was like, wow, God has given us talents. And, you know, we only use like 1%, if that. Some of us don't even use 1% because we don't believe enough that we our gifts will make room for us. We just think, okay, I'm going to do the norm. I'm going to do what society says. But what does say of the Lord? What does God say for you? He knows what he has in store for you. He knows the plans. He created you. So what are you doing with his plans? It's just really something to think about when I think about all the years of what God has planted inside of each and every one of us as individuals. You know, we have it within our hands. I've heard so many people this week, especially with the unemployment situation, point a finger at Obama. And I'm saying to myself, why are you pointing a finger at Obama? It's not Obama's fault that you were cut off. You had quite a bit of time to either find a new job or do something with your talents to create income for yourself. Why are you sitting and waiting on an individual and blaming that individual? You have nobody to blame but yourself. You've got gifts. You've got talents. Use them and watch how the doors open for you. Just really something to think about, LaLisa.
It is. It is something to think about. And, you know, and we know how it is when it comes to thinking. A lot of times the reasons we don't have is because of our bad thinking. We have thinking, as some people would say, any pastors would say. We need to get a new mindset. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, is to change our thinking. Because changing our thinking is tied to changing our belief system. And our belief systems have been ingrained in us since we were born. We learned them or we were taught them, what we believe. You know, children, little kids don't come here with a ready-made belief system. That's why we even have to teach them how to believe in themselves. They don't even come here knowing how to really believe in themselves. They come here, yes, with this innate ability to grasp on to whatever they're taught. They have a strong sense of being able to grab on. That's why they're like sponges. You hear people say, oh, children are like sponges. You're right, because they will grab on to whatever they're taught. And there has been millions and millions of studies done, even to risking the child's well-being. They don't like to do studies on human beings because it could lead them down the wrong path. In other words, if you're trying to study to see if a certain activity, medicine, or whatever makes a child act one way, that means you have to take one child and not give it to them. But it could be the very thing that could make them better. But in order for you to know, some studies they try to do with monkeys and other animals so that they could then come up with the same conclusion. But there are studies that they have actually done on humans, and they have proven that your environment plays a tremendous part in your future. I mean, even the Word of God says, train up a child in the way it should go. So you have it from both sides. You have it whether you believe in God or not. Scientifically, you have to believe it because they've proved it over and over scientifically. You believe in God and spirituality, you absolutely believe it because, you know, God, even other religions still refer to things in the Bible, though they may not follow it. They will pull out pieces that they want to hold on to. So there you have it. It's still true either way you look at it. Now that you've grown, though, now that you've been trained, or your belief system is this way or that way, and it may not be serving you to have to hold on to beliefs that learned growing up, however you were raised, or whoever you were raised with, now it's time to do a reassessment. And that's, you know, Giselle, that's one of the reasons that I put that section in Release Your Power. There's a chapter there that talks about self-assessment. No, it's not a 300, 400-page book, but it has chapters that touches on all of these things that will get you to that success, that life, where you can use all of your talents, where it will empower you. The book will empower you to want to use your talents. I talk about something in the book called TAGS. I call it TAGS, it's an acronym, T-A-G-S. And really, I thought I had came up with that, but I heard someone else using it. And I know they didn't read my book, so it just goes to show you. There's nothing new under the sun. Any idea you can come up with, God can drop that same idea in someone else's spirit. And that's why a lot of times you don't want to wait on opportunities. You don't want to wait on a good idea that you get. You want to get moving. Because just like it's in the universe, if it got dropped in your spirit, it could get dropped in someone else's. And so while you're waiting, contemplating, that other person is taking action. So TAGS, the acronym is talents, abilities, gifts, and skills. And we all have, we all have those, okay, to varying degrees. You may not have all the talents, but someone else has. You may only have one. You may only have one gift. Somebody else may have five. You may have several abilities. The Bible says, I give according to your several abilities. You have the ability to do this, and that. Or you may have a skill set. Some people are skilled at speaking. Some people are skilled at writing. Some people are very skilled artistically. Some people just have the ability to do it, but somebody else is very skilled at it. Some person who can have just an ability, they can go out and build the skill. Or you have to have a talent. Sometimes when we have a talent, we just do it and it comes very naturally and it's there. It could be a unique talent, or it could be one that it could be a very rare talent, or it could be the same talent that a lot of people have. For instance, playing the piano. Many people are talented pianists. Okay, same thing with a gift. You have that gift. It could be very unique, very different, very rare, or it could be a gift that several people have or a couple of people have. But don't wait. Utilize whichever ones you see. It may not be your talent right away. Maybe no one helped you discover what your gift was. Maybe no one ever pointed out any abilities or given you an opportunity to utilize your abilities. That's okay. You can do it. That's the whole purpose of growing up, so that you whatever you learned as a child growing up, you need that too. You need that too. It's going to somehow fit in. It's going to all be fitly joined together. It's going to work all things together. Somehow it's going to fit in the way you were raised, how you were raised, who were your parents, who weren't your parents. All of that is going to fit in to this puzzle. It's all a piece in the puzzle. Look at your life as a puzzle. And everything that you've been through, heartache, the pain, the drama, the good things, the great times, they all fit together. Start looking for how they fit in, and therefore you can live your life on purpose. Because when you live on purpose, I don't know about you, Adele, but I find that when you're living on purpose, every day becomes exciting.
That is so true, Lalisa. Because when you live on purpose, it's like, I'm enjoying life. And when you enjoy life, then you receive what you want out of life. I think about that because it's like I sit there and I think every night, every morning, what now can I do with the things that I have right here in my hands? And so I want to say to your listening audience, what's in your hands? Because when you're doing what you absolutely love to do, you're living on purpose and you're enjoying life. And most of us take life too serious. Have fun. Children have fun. They go and play. They don't think nothing about it. We as adults, we get serious. And we start thinking, and we do the what ifs and the what has. If this happens, then this might happen, that's going to happen. You know what? I say let it all go and live on purpose. Live life on purpose and watch what shows up.
Yes. You know, you're right. Living on purpose. And if you, and here's the thing, because for some people, you can have a cloud. You can almost be like behind a cloud. Or there's an old saying that says you could be so deep in the forest that you can't see the trees. And I know what that's like. Believe me, I've been buried in the forest. I was beyond deep. But you could be, here's the thing, you may not be able to see your talents, your gifts, your skills, and your abilities. Well, success leaves clues. So here's the thing, get around people that are successful, moving and shaking, as we call it, the movers and the shakers. Get around people that are doing things. Because something will fall off on you. My mother used to tell me, people learn a lot of things just through osmosis, just by being in the room with the people. Just by being there, it's going to rub off on you. Then there's the belief that, how is it? Success through association, the people you associate with.
Yes.
Your closest five friends, you're going to end up like your closest five friends. That you could take any, especially younger people, teenager type people, or even younger. Look at your five closest friends, and that's where you're headed. So, in other words, if your five closest friends do nothing but sleep, they don't want anything in life, well, don't be surprised if that's all you want to do. Or if your five closest friends are a part of all the extracurricular activities in the school, and they're part of the honor roll, and super honor roll, and they're part of the various fortune, different things like that, more likely your child will be too. Because here's the thing, nobody wants to be left out. So if everybody in your crowd is sleeping, well, you don't want to be left out, so you'll go to sleep. If everyone in your crowd is getting on the honor roll and joining this activity, that activity, got a very busy life, well, you wouldn't want that. Naturally, you don't even have to ask for it at that point. You did the asking when you went around those individuals. When you were bold enough and had enough courage to be around people that may seem at the time to be not like you. Because some people, sometimes they get afraid to be around people who are doing a lot because they feel that, they let fear stop them. They feel that, oh, this person is going to show me up. I don't have what he has. I don't have all the things that he has. I don't fit in. But they say you should play up, not down. So they said if you were the person in your five closest friends that is the smartest, has the most money, has the most ideas, then it's time to move on. You want to be around people that have more than you, who are doing more, who are saying more, who are going greater places, then they're going to pull you up. And that's something that people have to really consider when you look at your life and you're not satisfied. Again, if you're like the woman that Mr. Walker met, oh, hey, that was so funny. I thought I was going to crack up laughing. Well, there are some people who feel that way, fine. But if there's something that you're still seeking, I think we're all still seeking something. That's why we're still here. We all can be better and do better. You know, even if we get to Abraham Maslow's highest level on his hierarchy of needs, that self-actualization stage, even if we get there, you know, there's another step. There's another step that we didn't include, and maybe he would have had he lived longer, and maybe he would have reopened his study and added to it. But someone else came along and added another level, and possibly two more levels. But one other level is, okay, if you're the next level from self-actualization is other actualization. It's like, let's help others self-actualize. they may have done one more study beyond, one more level beyond that, but I know there's that's another level. Now that I've self-actualized, now my life's work is to help others self-actualize. Helping me to discover and break through all those levels, making sure you have the basic need, your physiological need, and then making sure you have your safety need, and then having that social need met, and the esteem need, and then making sure that you're self-actualizing, and then also encouraging you to go help others. So just imagine if we kept doing that over and over and over again, how much different our homes, our workplaces, our communities would look if everyone was not only they self-actualized, because a lot of people got that part down pat. I'm okay. But now, how are you out there making sure others are also okay? Who are you helping? For instance, if you have a business, no matter what business you have, it could be a business such as the one you have, Adele. It could be a business like Hope Harper has. Your business is now a hub for training others. You may think that, well, who wants to be in this business? Well, don't worry about that part. Just focus on, I'm supposed to be training now. Now I'm a trainer. But if you are a business owner, then the number one thing that you can teach someone else how to do is to have an entrepreneurial skill or mindset, even if that person never owns their own business. Because companies today, let me just give you all a little hint, companies today, the progressive companies, I should say, there are some companies who are old school, stuck in tradition, don't want to move forward. But all the companies who want to move forward, they look for people who have an entrepreneurial their entrepreneurship, not just an entrepreneur, but entrepreneurship. You think like an entrepreneur, though it's not your company. And we do know that they actually have a word for that, entrepreneur, I-N-T-R-A, entrepreneur versus E-N-T-R-E, entrepreneur. So you're inside the company, but you're operating it as if it's your own company. In other words, you're in the company and you don't hold back on ideas and things that will move the company forward. Like some people, when they're just a worker, they hold back on some ideas. They don't want to release it to the company because they don't see where they're going to get credit or get a great return on their idea or their suggestion. But when you're an entrepreneur, you know, you put every idea, every thought, everything you have to making your business grow and become and expand and grow and become, you know, more of whatever it is that you're doing. So this is a good thing. If you have a business, you can now teach others whatever it is you're doing. If nothing else, you're teaching them how to lead. And we know the challenges with leadership today. Everyone needs to know leadership. Everyone needs to know leadership. Because if nothing else, you're the leader of one. And I talked about that probably about eight years ago. I was on this kick to teach people, a little bit more than 8 years, that you are the leader of one. Yet another great idea I thought I had come up with, only to find out that other people were teaching that as well. Again, there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever God can drop in your spirit, he can drop it in someone else's, okay? Whatever I can call from the universe, someone else can call it as well. But again, I said, let me focus on teaching people that you are the leader of, if nothing else. Because if you say to people, if you go into a crowd and you start asking people about leadership and who's a leader and who's not, I do it every semester with my students. Just test it. You know, you want to test whatever hypothesis you have. So I'm testing it every semester. And 9 times out of 10, 99.9% of them will say they're not a leader unless they're a manager on their job or they're a supervisor or above. That's the only reason they'll raise their hand. a lot of times they're not in those positions, so they would say, well, no, I'm not a leader. And then I'm able to share with them, yes, you are a leader of yourself, nothing else. And how, so the principle, because what happens is when I begin to teach leadership principles, I want the students to do more than just read letters on a page. I want them to actually feel it, live it, taste it. So I got to get them to see that they are a leader. And it's easy because I can show them. So you're leading your own life. Just like Bill Gates is leading Microsoft, you're leading your life. Your life is that corporation. You, Y-O-U, you, comma, Inc. You are a corporation, if you can imagine that. And you are the leader. You're the CEO, you're the CFO, you're the CIO, you're the CPO, you're every chief. You're the CEO, the chief executive officer. You're the CFO, the chief financial officer. You're the CIO, the chief information officer. It's your job to get information and distribute it throughout your life, your mindset, your emotions, your feelings. You're the CPO, that's a new one, chief potential officer. It's your job to make sure that you live up to your fullest potential. Then you're the COO. COO in a company is the chief operating officer. They make sure the company is operating every day at 100%. No downtime, no lag time. I mean, sure, you're going to take rest. You're going to get sleep. You're not going to sit around for months talking about, well, I just wanted to see what it felt like to collect unemployment. Why? You don't need to know that. Why do you need to know what that feels like? I can tell you what it feels like. I can tell you exactly what it feels like. I can tell you, and I'm going to tell you in the nicest way. It feels like letting the saw get what do you call that, dull. And then what happens is, so while you were taking a break, trust me, it's not a break that you want. It's a desperate break. You only do that when you have to do it, when you're a desperate situation. You don't do it to say, I want to see what it feels like. When I was fired from Dressbourne, the clothing store, I could have went to get unemployment. As a matter of fact, I did. I went to Elizabeth, New Jersey to sign up for unemployment because I live in Hillside. I go there. It was in the winter. They fired me. It was dead of winter, somewhere in January. It was so much snow that year. If those of you remember, 1997, the winter of 97, so 96, 97. I go there. The roof had caved in, much like what happened at the football game the other week. But the roof had caved in on the Elizabeth Unemployment Office. I thought, how horrible is this? The day I go to sign, I had just gotten fired like the day before. I went the next day to go sign up. I get there, the roof's caved in. I couldn't, the office was closed. I said, you've got to be kidding. They were rerouting all of us to the Newark office, downtown Broad Street. Now, in my mind, I had a picture of what anything like that in Newark would look like. To me, signified a mess. Because I always thought Newark, you know, so many people maybe don't have jobs anyway, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a mess. Sure enough, I get myself downtown Newark. I go inside. So I already have a negative mindset when I get there that it's going to be a mess. There were tons of people everywhere. And they left you. It's not the building they have now. They got a new building. They were in the old building, 97. The lines were so long. The people were in the back taking breaks, celebrating people's birthdays while we're standing in line. I couldn't believe it. So now I'm already upset because, you know, I just left a good job and thought I was working hard. So you all are back here celebrating while we need benefits. So I'm down there, but I'm dressed very professional. I'm dressed like I'm on my way to a very professional job. So I walk up, and I felt in my mind, like, you know what, you really don't even fit here. You know, you don't fit this. And so I go to the one line, and the lady tells me I had to come back. I'm like, hold it. I've been standing here all morning, and you tell me I got to come back. I said, okay, I'll be back. So I leave, and I go down the street, get in my car. I go down the street, turn left, and go to Essex County College. I park my car. I go down to the special programs department, because that was the department I was a part of when I was a student there from 1990 to 91. I was only a student at Essex for 1 year. After that, I went to U. So I go down, and I go to see Ms. Foster, a woman who was over the program that I was in. Hey, Ms. Foster, how you doing? And all she could remember was I was a student who had gotten all A's and gotten a couple of awards, and they like that because it makes their department look good. And she goes, hey, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm looking for a job. That's all I said. She goes, oh, go over there. They're hiring motivational speakers, life skills instructors, and they're paying them $25 an hour. I had just gotten fired from a job making $12 at Dressborn as a store manager. She says, I didn't even get my unemployment yet. I walked over to, she says, go see Dean Gretchen Brown. Tell her I sent you, Lalisa. Tell her Betty Foster sent you. Walk over there, and I say, Betty Foster sent. She says, you have your, by then I had my bachelor's. I had just graduated that fall in 96 with my bachelor's degree. She said, go over there and tell her. Because that was one of the requirements. You had to have a degree. Go over there. I tell Gretchen Brown. She says, okay, see those two ladies right there and set up an interview with them. Karen Rivas and Ramos. I think it was Ramos at the time. She's now married. So anyway, to make a long story short, I went there and they interviewed me for the position of a motivational speaker to come in and speak to the welfare. They were just launching the Welfare to Work program, and it was called the AWEP program, AWEP, Alternative Work Experience Program. It was brand new. It was starting like that next month. They were going to get their first group of women and a few men. There were more women on that, because this was the TANF side where you had a needy family with children versus the general assistance side. And they said, can you do motivational speaking? I said, sure. I'm thinking, oh, wow, they're about to hire me. I'm about to get this job. And they said, well, it's only for 1 hour a week. I'm like, huh? I said, okay. No problem, 1 hour. So I left there. I was like, I didn't even go back to the unemployment office. I didn't even go back. I left there and I said, okay. And I looked around that office. I was like, okay, motivational speaking, all right. This is a new program. I was putting two and two together. I was like, they're going to need more people. And I went there. And that next day, I stayed around, and Karen Rivas can attest to this. So can Joanna Ramos. I said, what else? After my hour was over, I said, okay, what else y'all need done? Well, you're done. We're not paying you. I don't. What else you need done? And I just did whatever they needed. I dusted off cabinets. I straightened up files. Sometimes she didn't even have to. I didn't have to ask what they needed. I just looked around and saw. The place was kind of, you know, I needed to straighten up a little. Next thing I know, they gave me a few more hours. And then the life skills person, and then they brought on Ms. Robin Eubanks. Some of you know her. She was the official life skills instructor. And I followed her around like I was a sick puppy. Every move she made, I was on her heels, asking her a gazillion questions. I'm sure I got on her nerves. Ms. Robin Eubanks. Well, Ms. Robin Eubanks, she worked at UMDMJ for years. She probably still works there. Some of you know who I'm talking about. She decided that June, this was February when they hired me, she decided that June that she was going to go back and get her PhD at Seton Hall University. And she needed to go work there as part of, she was doing a doctoralship. She had worked there as well to get her doctorate, and occasionally a doctorate degree. So guess what happened when she decided to do that? It created an opening for a life skills instructor. And guess who they looked at? Well, they looked at the person who had followed the woman on her heels, knew everything the lady knew. Well, not everything she knew, but I knew a lot because I asked her everything. And it was easy for them to make me a life skills instructor. And all I did was do what I had seen Robin do. I had never been a life skills instructor a day in my life. but I knew to mimic. So it's the same thing we see our children do in the church. They grow up to be preachers, like who, their daddies or their mamas. Why? They sat at their feet. They know everything they know. They did it, you know. So it's not hard to do. And I'm saying that, I know that was a long story, but I hope it encourages someone. You can be whatever you want if you go study. Right now, I could go be anything I want if I go sit up under that person. Let's just say I wanted to own my own computer company, such as Bill Gates. Let's say I wanted that. All I'd have to do is go find a Bill Gates. It doesn't have to be the Bill Gates, but a Bill Gates. That's all. And hang with them. Talk to them. Ask them a gazillion questions. There are people who do that to me. There are people right now that will tell you, oh, yeah, I got this from Louisa or whatever. Now, you do have to be a person that will allow people to hang around you, absolutely. But some people won't because they're very selfish. They don't want anyone to be like them or to know what they know. You're absolutely right. But those people are few, far, and in between. You just go find someone else. They're not the only person that you can learn from. In other words, keep looking till you find the person who's going to allow you to hang with them. When I got ready to be a trainer, I just started hanging around people that were training. So that when it was time for me to apply for a training job, I knew what I was talking about. I knew what to say. I even knew what to do. Because I'm just modeling my role model. I'm modeling my role model. Even my husband, my wonderful husband, I thank God for him. I hung around my sister's husband and I kept saying, oh, I want a man like that. I want a professional man with this kind of job. I want a man that takes care of his family. I want a man that, you know, blah, 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 blah. And that's what I did. I found the one I wanted and I said, that's what I want. And that's what I got. Very professional man. He's very professional. Some of you heard him the other day on the show. Some of you heard him at the panel. Some of you will catch him on YouTube if I can ever take my camera to church. You'll see him sing. But you got to model. There's a thing called modeling. So I know I don't want to run out of time before I mention the opportunity that Mr. Howard Scott spoke to me about yesterday, and I said I would mention it today. The wonderful event is free and open to the public. It's going to be right in the city of Newark, New Jersey. For those of you who can get there, it is a tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King. It is called Remembering Martin Luther King. And it's just going to be opportunities for vendors. If you're a motivational speaker, you need to contact him. If you are, and definitely if you're on the phone line, Mr. Howard, please hit your number one key and you can tell him about it as well. But it's going to be at the Science Park High School. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful school in New Jersey, in Newark, brand new school, just built not that long ago. So you definitely want to make your way there. I will be there. It is going to be on Sunday. It's going to be on Sunday. That will be January the 26th. No, I'm sorry, not January 26th. I have that date on my mind. I was thinking January 26th or something else, but it's going to be January the 16th. I have the sixth part right. There are going to be students there and their talents. They're going to be, they've achieved things. They're going to be given a tribute. The school is located right there on Norfolk Street, 260 Norfolk Street. Some of you know Norfolk Cliff, and the street runs together, and then it turns into another street. It's about three different street names before you get out of the city of Newark. But they're going to have film clips in the auditorium. It's a beautiful school. You've got to go just to see the school, if nothing else. If they're going to have vendors, it's going to be networking, book signings. I'm assuming that he will definitely have his book there. He's definitely going to be able to get a copy of his book. You want to do that. There will be hip-hop and poetry slams. You know, our people are some of the best poets that you could ever know it. And there's going to be dance, R&B, you're going to have choirs, gospel soloists, artists that are breaking out, artists that have been out. It's just going to be phenomenal. You can go to the website, MLK, Martin Luther King, STAT.com. So again, go to the website, MLKSTAT.com. You can get a table by calling 973-332-7626. 973-332-7626. And please leave a message if you don't get an answer. I'm sure they're very, very busy planning for this event. They've been doing this event for so many years. I don't know exactly how many years. But we will have Mr. Howard Scott. I'm sure he's busy, couldn't make it on today. But when he does come to the line, you'll be able to ask him any kind of question that you'd like about it. But we want to just say good morning to all of those who have tuned in. If you would like to ask a question, make a comment, please just hit your number one key. We're also on the line today with Ms. Adele J. Foster. She has been here standing by as I've been telling my story about how it can take one little thing, but if it's in line with your passion, and it can turn into something gigantic. Because trust me, my passion was to be a motivational speaker. And this was 1997. They hired me as a motivational speaker and actually paid me $25 an hour. Motivate women whose lives were in transition. And here I am, 13 years later, still doing motivational speaking, and more often than not, for women lives are in transition. Now, it could be transition from one job to another, one career to another, transition from one mindset to another. There are many ways to be in transition. Just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. But there are some great things that are going to be happening. We have seminars and training that we're scheduling. We have working on a communication piece where we're going to actually be giving instruction and information for people who want to be better at the customer service skills, their leadership skills. Like we said, you, nevertheless, you're the leader of one, and how are you leading your own life? So as a leader, leaders have to motivate, and so how are you doing at motivating yourself? When you get down, are you able to pull yourself back up quickly? How well leaders have to empower those around them. How are you empowering yourself? How are you training yourself, teaching yourself? There's anything you need to know how to do. You know, leaders have to build themselves up. They have to nurture. They have to self-nurture themselves. Not nature, but nurture. How are you nurturing yourself when you get hurt, get wounded? How well do you nurture yourself to pick yourself back up and get yourself back in shape? A leader has to take care of themselves. Want to lead for a long time, have to live healthy, healthy conscious. Sure, there will be days when you stop by McDonald's and get the big breakfast like I did yesterday. Those days will come. But I didn't eat all of it either. So, you know, there will be those times where you might have to, you know, eat something that's out of line with a real healthy diet. But your mindset is there. Your mindset is. And then the lady, I had my sister, she was on the phone. I had her cracking up when the lady offered me. She said, "Do you want our new oatmeal?" I was like, "No, thank you." My sister started laughing. I said, "I'll stay with the unhealthy side today, ma'am. Thank you very much for asking, though." I guess she said, "After you eat that big breakfast, lady, you need to be eating some oatmeal." But that's pretty funny, right, Adele?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Lalisa. But she was looking out for you being healthy that day.
I figured I'd make you all laugh. Get you laughing there this morning. Nothing wrong with laughing. Actually, laughing is very healthy.
It actually, you know what? So many people live a lot longer if they learn how to laugh
be happy and just live life. You know, I think as adults, I'm going back to my adult kick here, we take life too serious. Have fun. We learn how to have fun. We'll enjoy life. We'll live longer. We'll live a lot longer. My mom was telling me yesterday about a guy 80-some years old, still working. Still working. But he was saying that his brother lived a long life. He's going to live a long life. His brother retired and went back to work because they needed to be around people and needed to enjoy people. If you do that, you will have a long and healthy life.
Well, and that's going around those people again. Having that, like you said earlier, Adele, having those accountability partners, having people that are going to say to you, did you finish that project? Did you finish that book yet? Did you open that business yet? Okay, we've got to keep each other going. You want to be around people that can keep you going, not around people that are going to depress you and drag you down. And you around people who are talking negative all the time, you need to get away from them with the quickness. Remember the
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that I have found, a lot of us self-sabotage. And the reason why we do that is most of the time is because of the people that we are around. They don't believe that they can do it, so they don't believe you can do it, and they'll tell you that. You know, and that's sad. That's really sad.
They,
I mean,
they will tell you, oh, you can't do that. That's right.
Yeah, they'll tell you you can't do that. And the reason why they tell you that is because they don't believe they can do it. So, you know, the minute a person tells you that, oh, you can't do that, you tell them, you're absolutely right. You can't do that, but I can. You just let them know what's inside of you, not what's inside of them. Because if they believe they can't do it, they're right. They can't do it. But you know what's inside of you. You know what you can do. And so you give them their prompts. You tell them you're absolutely right. You can't do it, but I can.
And you know what I found too, Adele? I found that there are people who really think you can't either.
Well, that's because...
You know what? And I know people who think they can do it, but you can't.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's fine. You know, it's one of the things that I always say is, you know what, I'm going to make a believer out of you. I'm not going to tell you. I can better show you. And so you show people what you can do. You don't have to tell them. I remember my grandfather's words. You know, he loved the song, "May the works I do speak for me." And so your works can speak for itself. You don't have to say a word. It's your action that will ring out loud and clear, and people will be able to see it.
And you know what? As a matter of fact, once you start doing, you will be so busy. You won't even have time to talk to them anymore for what?
Absolutely. It's like they'll be wondering, where did you go? Because they can't find you anymore. Because you're busy. You know, it's funny. I had a friend of mine tell me, she said, you know what, Adele, one day I'm going to dial your number and someone's going to answer the phone and say, oh, Adele's not available right now. Can I take a message? She said, I hope that day does never come. And I said, well, that day may come because I'm going to make myself so busy that I may need an assistant to answer that phone for me. But just know that I'll get back to you. You know, you got to see yourself bigger than what you are. What's that acronym for big, LaLisa?
Bold imaginations equal greatness.
And see, I love that because when you have boldness about yourself and you can imagine where you're going, everything in your life is going to be great because you're taking that leap of faith. You're walking with boldness to where you want to go because you got the imagination, the mindset to see where you want to go. And so with boldness, you're going to walk into it. And guess what's going to happen? Nothing but greatness. Right, LaLisa?
You are, because boldness is turning it inside out. Because what's inside of you is so big and so bold that once you ever decide to turn that out, You're just turning what's on the inside out. It's already there. The boldness was built in. You know, it's like the who was it, Toyota or somebody said, quality goes in before the name goes on. We built quality inside the car when it was built. Well, when you were built, he built boldness in you. It's in there. It's just like the Ragu commercial when they talk about the spaghetti sauce or whatever. It's in there. It's already there. And all you're doing is turning it inside out. And that's why the enemy of your life wants you to focus on the outside, the outer. Focus on the outer. He wants you to focus 90% on the outer and 10% on the inner. But you got to turn it around. Yes, you got to focus on what's in your environment. That's those people that you hang around. That's those things that people around you are doing and saying, the places that you're going. But you got, you put 10% on that. And put, if you put 90% on in turning the inside out, the out, the 10% of the outside will be pushed back. Developing, spending 90%. They call that your sphere of influence. You can influence 90% of what's inside of you. What's on the outside, you really only have about 10% control of the environment. But what most people do, they spend their lives trying to fix their outside. They spend 90% of their energy trying to fix the outer, what's in the environment, what these people are doing to me, what they ain't doing to me, what they won't let me do, what I can't. No. Focus on what you can do internally.
That's a waste of energy. When people focus on what people are doing to me, what they're not doing to me, that's a waste of energy. And that energy can be turned around the other way. I like to give your listening audience something to think about. Find an accountability partner. Find a coach. Find someone that will be accountable to wherever you want to go. And then do one thing, I don't care how small it is, every day towards what you want to happen in your life. Because it's the small things that will help you to see where you can go. I don't care how small it is. It may be that, okay, today I'm going to order a business card for myself. Guess what? You did that. It's an accomplishment. Celebrate the accomplishment. Because as you start doing those small things, they lead into bigger things. That leads into greatness. Right, Lalisa?
That's right. The small things will lead to great things. Because when you're starting out, you don't want to take on too much. You got the big mindset. Yeah, you got the New York state of mind, but you're handling the small things. Because that, you remember, you're building capacity. Every small thing you handle, now you're building capacity to handle more. That's how come when you use the talents, whatever the ones that you were given, he gives you more. Because while you were using them, you were building capacity. In other words, you were building up your muscle. You were building up your tissues, everything that you need to handle more. And that's why you have to operate in something. Some people say, well, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. A lot of people say that, right? I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I'm passionate about. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. Okay, here's where we'll take you next. Let me ask you, then, what do you want? Oh, I don't know what I want. I don't even know what I want. Okay, fine. You don't know what you want. What do you like? What do you like doing? Now you might get an answer. Now you might get an answer. When you go from what's your passion, purpose, I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. Now when you say, what do you like? Now they may say, well, I like to read. They may say, I like to shop. And as coaches, now we're open to whatever you tell us. I like to count money. I like to travel. I like to bake. I like to help people. I like, you know. So that once we give out that word like, now you're going to get a lot of answers back. Now, as a coach, yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely, because once you start saying what you like to do, as coaches, Lalisa and I both can say, okay, now let's look at what you can do with what you like to do. Because there's a gift inside of you. That gift, even if you like to shop. So if you like to shop, guess what? You don't have to necessarily shop for yourself. You can turn that into business and go shopping for someone else. I hate to shop. Who would want to go shopping for me? I would look for a person in a heartbeat to say, Adele, I'll go shopping for you. Because trust me, people go, you don't like to shop? No, I hate malls. But if you'll go shopping for me, great. I can sit back, long as you pick out what I like, I'm good. And I'm an easy person to please. I'm very conservative. So if you're going to go shopping for me, you just turn that into a business for yourself. Think about it. What you like to do, become your business.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Whatever it is you like to do, you can do it. You can turn it into a business. You can turn it into a career. Even if you don't want to start your own business, believe it or not, there are companies, especially the major corporations, who have CEOs who travel, and they need personal shoppers.
Absolutely.
The CEO may have spouses when the top executive officers. See, a lot of times what happens is, and it's true, and everybody knows it, okay? A lot of times what stops us is the lack of knowledge. That's why you used to hear the old folks, and even today we still hear it sometimes, knowledge is power. Because what you don't know almost can hurt you. In other words, if you didn't know, let's just say you love the shop, let's just use that scenario, and you didn't know that you could turn that into either a business or a career, well, the knowledge of that just helped you. But sometimes it's what we don't know. That's why we have to go to empowerment sessions. When they say empowerment, don't take that word lightly. That means you're about to somehow be able to tap in to a realm that is going to launch you right where you want to be anyway. So typically, when I hear that word empowerment, I'm pretty much going off to that scenario. I'm going to go there, whether it's online, whether it's on the phone, whether it's in the building. I'm going to try to make my way because I know that the persons are looking to build up others. And then they probably done some research to know whatever areas. But so you, whatever thing it is that you want to learn about, you didn't know about them. Sometimes people don't go for stuff because they didn't know that was a career. I remember there was a time when I didn't know that training was a career. If I had known that when I first went to college and got in 1990, immediately after, I would have started doing training right then. I didn't know it was a career. I didn't know motivational speaking was a career. I just thought it was so knowledge of something can cut down time in you getting to it. Same thing with computers. Look at all the graphic artists. Okay, if you're good at graphic artists, I'll hire you tonight. I need a flyer. I'll hire you tonight if you're good at it. No, I don't want you just because you like to tinker around with it, because I can do that. I can do flyers that come out okay, and people even tell me they're nice. No, I'm looking for a person who knows how to use Photoshop or one of those programs or whatever they call it, and you can do that fancy stuff with the colors. You can do all that fancy stuff with the letters. In other words, when people look at it, it pops. That's what I'm talking about. But you may know somebody that can do it who isn't doing it as a business, yet they're sitting complaining about they don't have money. Well, you can do that kind of work and get paid online from home. From home, my sister recently started working for the Hilton Hotels, and she does it from home using a laptop and a telephone. She's a reservationist. And I remember she, you know, for years complained about not finding herself a good job. Now, she loves that. And I called her up because I said, I want to travel. What's my discount on a hotel? She said, oh, it's a great one. And I told her, I couldn't believe it. My sister's older than me. She just got this job within a year. And she's like 2 years. She's like 56. But don't let anybody tell you your age has nothing to do with nothing. It's not your age, it's your attitude. It's not our age that stops us. It's our attitude that always will stop us. You heard the saying, attitude determines altitude. With the right attitude, you can have whatever you want. You can live a big life. You can live bold imagination and greatness. With the right attitude, you can become a dancer, a singer. You can start a dance studio. You can start You don't even, even if you don't really, you don't even have to know how to dance. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been honest with you, but say that, so I said it. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you a secret. You can start a dance studio even though you don't know how to dance. Okay? You can start a hair studio even though you don't know. People say, well, I don't know how to do hair. I'm not going to start a hair salon. I met a couple once in New Jersey when I first moved here. I'll never forget them. They had this big, booming salon. They didn't do hair, but they hired people that did. Okay? You hire people. You know any hairstylists that, let's just say you know a couple of hairstylists that are unemployed right now. For whatever reason, they're not in the shop, and no shop needs them because business is slow. But you have money. You can open a shop and hire them and let them run it for you and pay them a salary, pay them whatever, and let them run the store, the shop. It's not hard to do, but now you need to be business-minded. You may need to go take a business course or two. And you can do that with me. It's not a business course out there that I can't teach you because I've taught almost all of them in the business department since 2003. So there's not a whole lot that you need to know about business that I can't teach you because that's what I do. So you have no excuse, none. You don't need to. You don't have to. You need to know something about it, but you can go do research. You don't need to have a license to own a beauty salon. You have to have license to do hair. You have to have license to do hair, yes. But if you're an entrepreneur, you're an entrepreneur. If you're a business owner, you're a business owner. You can, if you have money to invest, as business owners, that's what they do. They invest their money, their time, their effort to starting and running a business. You can, just like a clothing store, you don't know how to make clothes, but you own a clothing store. What's the difference? You don't know how to do hair, but so you can own a hair salon. That's if you want to be an entrepreneur. And this couple actually did very well because they went. See, sometimes when you do hair, that's all you do is hair. And a lot of those businesses don't last. Because these people were business-minded, they did a lot more than hair. They sold every other kind of product that went along with hair. They sold other products that didn't go with hair, but went with people who cared about hair. So if you care about hair, you care about beauty. If you care about beauty, you care about these other things. And these people were highly successful. They made a lot of money. They made a lot of money. And so, you know, when you're business-minded versus just, you know, again, some people operate their businesses just like a worker. That's all they do is that. They're basically a worker. You know, you just offer that one thing. No. Business owners offer an array of products. They have several product lines because they know if they get trapped in one product line, if that one line is not producing, they're going to be out of business. They'll be out of business, even with the thing that you love to do. So you got to be business-minded as well. So I think we went over our time today, which we said we would go over a little bit. But if you have any questions, and you ask me any questions or thoughts, please welcome them. We just have to hit your number one. I see some of you have stayed with us on the switchboard. We thank you. We appreciate that. The chat room individuals, unfortunately, they can't hear after we stop streaming. So if they didn't call in, they are no longer able to hear. And some of them who are new are probably wondering, what just happened? But we will remind them tomorrow of that, because we didn't get a chance to do that today. But for those of you who want to make a comment or you have a question, you might have an outburst. We welcome all of them. If you see number one, I am curious, though. Oh, that must be Kiva. Okay, I see a 615. I'm like, okay, what is that area code? Now I know that's Miss Nashville. I think we have Miss Deborah. Right, Deborah in Texas, right? That's her name, right, Adele?
Yes, it is.
Deborah. Yes, wonderful. Ms. Tina, welcome. But if you have a comment or a question, or Adele, if you have any other comments or thoughts, we'll let people get to their awesome day. I know y'all got to go shopping, so don't act like y'all done.
Well, you know, Lalisa, it's funny. Some people may not have even started shopping.
Like me.
One of those. I'm one of
like
those last-minute person.
Well, I've been busy, so I haven't had time to. But thank God I don't have a whole lot to do. But, yeah, my husband, he's done quite a bit already because he, you know, he's not a last-minute person.
That's right?
Because sometimes I have to slow him down. So he can stop and smell the roses and the coffee. My husband, he's probably glad I got this gloss up. He's probably glad for the gloss up show because normally when days like this came, I would still be in bed to 12. At least I'm up. Now I can rest and go out the house with him. But yeah, but if you're in the New Jersey area and you want to come to a session we're going to be having right here at my home on Monday, we're going to be talking about this Monday, and I'll tell you more about that tomorrow, or you can inbox me. I'll give you the address. We're going to be making that plan. We're going to be talking about the new year, the new you, and that new attitude, helping to come up with your plan, your ideas, what are you going to do for next year, helping you. And we want to be on point, and we want to be that accountability coach for you so that you can actually do what it is. I want to see you, you know, whatever it is. I want to see you. I want to see it with you. I want to see you. Whatever business you want to start or grow, whatever it is you want to do, I want to be there to help you, just to help see you through, because I know that's what it takes. You want to have somebody there cheering you on, I call it. You want to have, just like in the sports, you ever see they have a cheerleading team? And those cheerleaders cheer them on throughout the game. You ever notice that? That's on purpose. You know? That's on purpose that they have someone to cheer them, even when they're losing. The cheerleading team will come out and, you know, rah, rah, you can do it, you can go, 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 go. You need that. You need that cheerleader. I want to be your cheerleader. I want to cheer you on. Go, go, go. It helps, I'm telling you. It helps. I learned that. Having a cheering section really, really helps. And you think it's going to be our loved ones and our friends automatically and even our spouses, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a stranger, a complete stranger that's going to cheer you on. You'll be surprised how much further you'll get, how much closer you'll get to the field goal, to the touchdown. So, Adele, it's been great having you on this morning.
Thank you, Lalisa. I enjoyed being on this morning. And, you know, I've been listening to the show, but I'm glad that I called in this morning.
I am so glad. And everyone, please enjoy the day. And we'll see you back here tomorrow for another show, another segment. Have a wonderful day.
Have a blessed day, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment.